If you're a gay man, odds are you don't like the way you look. A recent survey revealed that gay men are 3 times more likely than heterosexual men to have body image issues. And it's no wonder they feel that way, considering how much emphasis there is for the perfect body.
But what is the perfect body? For musician Tom Goss, thick and juicy men are his ideal. So much so that he's got a new video out for his song, Round in All the Right Places, that revels in the beauty of plus-sized men.
Today, Tom Goss joins us to talk about how he wants the whole world to see the beauty in big guys.
Plus, the 80s rap group, The Fat Boys.
Santa Claus as a sex symbol.
And where are the best places to find the big man of your dreams?
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Feast of Fun is made possible because of fabulous people just like you. Thank you. Unlock a delicious world of podcasting magic and listen to thousands of amazing shows at feastoffun.com/plus.
Hello?
Hello, is this Tom Goss?
This is.
Hi, Tom. It's Mark.
Hey, Mark. How's it going?
Hello, Tom. It's Fausto.
I can't tell you two apart. You sound exactly the same.
What do you mean we sound the same?
Really? The sissy one is Fausto. The butch one is Mark.
That's me.
Yeah, exactly.
Congratulations on putting out another video.
Thank you. I had so much fun doing it. It was really fun.
How'd you like?
Thanks for coming on the show.
What'd you say?
Thanks for coming on the show. Bye.
No. Yeah, it was really great.
That was a short interview.
Mm-hmm. We know you pretty well. We know you have a fondness for round guys. You know,
I do. Like wait, are we here? Right? Are we on the show right now?
What
we
show?
Have been talking to you all night long about coming on the podcast. We said we're going to call you on the podcast in 10 minutes.
Yes, but are we live? Are we live?
What do you? You've been on the podcast for 10 years. Nothing has changed.
Give him a little space because, like, usually when Tom comes on the podcast, it's usually here in person.
It is.
It's very rare that we've done this over the phone. Am I right?
But it is also true. I don't think we've ever done it over the phone. But it is also true in Fausto's defense that I'm asking a really stupid question.
I'm not saying that's stupid. I'm just shocked because we have been talking about having you on the podcast, and then the question you're asking is, am I on the podcast?
Yeah, but you know what? I was being stupid because, like, I've been doing a lot of radio interviews, and it's live, and I know you guys record everything and then edit everything, and I just didn't. It just a blank in my head.
So now that you're famous, you've forgotten about your friends.
Never. I would never.
What
are
happens.
You kidding me? I'm binge watching Alt for Nord. I'm binge watching it. That's how excited. That's how much I love you guys.
Oh,
yeah, it's so good.
Thank you.
You're so sweet.
It's hard for me not to look at the thumbnails because I want to look at them to make sure you're still in the thumbnails as the episodes go on. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Which episode? How far have you gone?
So I was texting you. The chubby guy just left.
Oh, yeah. Mike. He just got married this past weekend. So shout out to Mike and Laura. Yeah.
He's so cute. Yeah. I think so. That puts me on like 5 or 6, I think.
That would be 4.
Yeah. So it puts me at 5.
Okay.
I think I started the next one too.
Okay. All right.
So yeah, for people are not familiar with the show, it's Mark is retracing his Norwegian ancestry in a sort of Big Brother Amazing Race style show, and it's only broadcast in Norway, but Americans can watch it through dplay.no's website.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so cute. It's so fun. And everybody's really nice to each other. And the girls cry every episode. And I don't know why, but it's hilarious.
It's a very emotional show. Well, you know, people are very attached to their family. They love their family. And I think for a lot of people, the show is it's that connection. It's having that connection with their family. Because, you know, people have lost that connection through death of parents. They don't know where they come from. So they're just trying to discover things. And so it gets very emotional.
when that Seattle girl, the singer girl, Julie, was telling her family story, oh my God, I was like, okay, now this story's heavy. I was like, holy fuck. It was really intense.
they kind of get like that. And you know what's interesting is Julie came on the podcast a couple weeks ago to talk about it. And there was part of the letter that she didn't read, right? Is that there was two kids born, as they would say, out of wedlock. And the first one was born to a banker. And the second one was born to somebody else who was like, the father was somebody else who didn't do as well. And he ended up dying of syphilis. And she was just like, there was no way I was going to read that on television. And I'm like, okay, I don't blame you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm glad you like it. And I knew when I told you about it, I was like, this is a show that Tom would like because it's like, it's wholesome.
Yeah, it's really wholesome. It's really cute. But I just want you to win. So I love everybody until it comes to the point where you're competing against them. I'm like, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck them all.
It is getting to that point. I want Mark to win, of course, you know, which may be awesome or it may be heartbreaking. You just have to watch a show and see.
Listen, I'm a winner no matter what, right?
Yes.
I'm proud of you either way.
Thank you.
And we're proud of you, a lifelong advocate for people unconditionally loving themselves. And you are a young man who started out in wrestling, and then you fell into a bad group of people called the Catholic Church. And you almost became a Catholic priest, but you fell in love with the thick and juicy... And you got out of the seminary and you found your life partner, Mike?
Yes.
You guys got married and the rest is his story, as you've dedicated your music career and a lot to advocating for LGBT youth and, you know, people of all different kind of backgrounds. But you really have a very big part of your heart for big men.
Yeah, no, all of that's true. All of that's without a doubt true. I think it's interesting, you know, I can't not tell stories about my experience. I can't not tell stories about my people and my tribe's experience. So that's really important to me. And I think a part of that is being attracted to and living with a beautiful, round, robust grand man and see how he then interacts with the world and how the world looks at him and portrays him and interacts with him. Sure. And I oftentimes see the inequality in how I'm treated versus how he's treated. And that's painful for me.
Of course, you're also interacting a lot with people who are fans of your work. So there already is that imbalance there.
Yeah.
But for people who like have no clue who you are, and you guys both step, say, into a supermarket or a restaurant. What's the difference there?
Well, I mean, the difference is how people approach me and how people talk to me and how people are open to me in a way, like open to having a conversation with me and open to knowing me, especially in Los Angeles, especially in some neighborhoods of Los Angeles where image is really everything. And I think it's hard. I think, honestly, just frankly, it's hard to see people look through him.
Sure.
To look at me or to look at whoever. I'm not just trying to say like, wow, I'm so super hot and they're all looking at me. I mean, I just mean like they're looking at
You can put that in a song and give it to a drag queen, because every song for the drag queen sings is like, oh my God, I walked in the club. All the eyes were on me. Everybody's looking at me.
I think that's almost every song.
No.
It does not just drag queen.
I'm at the club and they're playing my song. You know, isn't that Miley Cyrus, right? It's a party in the USA.
Exactly.
I felt like one of your more successful works was Bears, because instead of not just being sort of a love song to people who have been cast aside for one reason or another, you're actually having fun for a change. And being taken away to a pool party where everybody's eating hot dogs and running around a slip and slide and shooting each other with squirt guns. But recently in The Advocate, you wrote a very scalding hot editorial condemning your own work and saying that was indulgent.
Well, it's interesting. I'm not sure it was a condemnation of my work, but yeah. I do think that it's with me with some perspective and some insight and some experience looking back at a work that I did 5 years ago and finding ways that it could have been better. And the truth of the matter is I love Bears. I love the song. I love the video. I'm super proud of it. I've gotten hundreds of notes over the years about how that video helped people embrace themselves or embrace their love for Bears. But I do think it used some of kind of the stereotypical body image tropes to sell that video. And that those tricks were me being really skinny, me looking really sexy in the stereotypical way, and selling the video on that. As opposed to, I know I'm saying like Bears got the best of me, Bears in my fantasy all night, all right. But the focus of that is very much me, right? It's very much me. Look how hot I am. I like Bears.
If you could have the perfect body, what would that body look like? Would you want to be a thick and juicy guy too?
No, I don't think so. I don't think that my attraction is the same as what I want from my own body. I mean, I honestly don't know. I think I like my body. I think I struggle with my body a lot myself, and I think I struggle with the idea of becoming bigger. I gain weight actually pretty quickly. I definitely have like a stocky build. And so for me, I've been an athlete my whole life and I work really hard to keep an athletic build. And I think that's part of me buying into the societal society telling me that you have to be thin or you have to be fit or you have to be athletic. So as much as I'm saying, look, I find these people beautiful and these people are beautiful, I'm still trapped in that kind of like ideal for my own self-image.
So are you trying to better understand what Mike's own love for you is, which is unconditional? Because it sounds like you're harsher on yourself. You know, like I'm hearing you talking about your own body. Absolutely. And it sounds like you're really harsh on yourself. And at the Absolutely. Same time, like a lot of your work almost seems like it's written from Mike's perspective than yours.
Well, I think I am hard on myself, but I think that's really a good insight. Like I'm super hard on myself, but I want to always embrace and uplift others. You know, I am certainly a perfectionist, not only in my art, but in my everyday life. And I mean, I grew up as a gymnast. So from the age of 2 years old, I was doing gymnastics and literally doing things and having people hold up scores for how close or far away from perfect I was. You know, this is what I grew up with. And so for me, living in this kind of hyper competitive, hyper perfectionist family, this is just how I perceive myself. And I think that's been really detrimental for me in a lot of ways. And I think it's been really detrimental for my self-esteem. I don't think I write it from the perspective of Mike, but I write it from the perspective of me as to the way that I want the world to be. That doesn't mean that I always live in that world myself. It doesn't mean I'm not without flaws, you know?
So this is like an ideal image that you're trying to create. It's almost like you're trying to pray a perfect world, right? So prayer is the idea of repeating a desire, a wish, a mindset enough times to hopefully maybe make it come true, right?
Yeah, I absolutely. I mean, I think that these days, as like kind of corny and hippie as it sounds, I do try to give myself these positive affirmations. You know, I think people see me and see the way I look and see the way I act and see the confidence and the outgoingness in me and think that I'm just like have all the confidence and have all this and have all of that. But I mean, it's a struggle for me as well. So I'm just trying to speak to the way that I see beauty, and I'm trying to do that for other people to give them self-confidence. But there's no doubt about it. I'm trying to understand and accept my body as it is and be loving to myself as well.
Well, you're not alone in that. It's they just did a recent survey, like 84% of respondents who were gay said that they felt under intense pressure to have a good body. And only 1% of these gay men consider themselves very happy with their appearance.
I don't know, you know,
1%
to me is like, yeah. I love myself. Yikes. I'm happy person. I work really hard on my body to look the way I do. And And to me, it's always like pleasurable to chase after an unattainable goal. It's not the destination, it's the journey. And I always want to encourage all our listeners to be like, you know, I want you to accept your body the way it is right now, and then work as hard as you can to change it, to make it that perfect image that will never get there, you know, but the journey is really exciting and wonderful. And if being large and in charge is an ideal version of yourself, then by all means do it.
Well, I don't think it's an ideal version of myself for me. I think it's an ideal version of somebody that I want to take into my bag. You know what I mean? Oh.
Because you have, like, Santa Claus is a sex symbol for you.
I mean, that's Santa Claus can. In that video, he's very much Santa Claus, and he's extremely, extremely sexy to me.
Did you pick all the models?
Yeah, man. I cast this video.
How did you go about casting these men?
So there was a casting couch. No, I'm kidding. He swiped right on Tinder.
He's like, would you like to be in a video with me?
No, actually, you know, it was like Instagram, strangely enough. Like, I posted some things on my social media, and then I talked to some other people that, then some other people saw it, and then they posted it on social media. And there was this, Instagram page called Bear Mag that posted it. And then I got, Shane and Ken, who are the businessman and the surfer. They're actually a couple, and I followed Shane on Instagram for years, so I knew who he was, and I thought his husband was gorgeous. I know Dexter because I work with him on Click, and I've worked with him in the past. And then I know Robert just from being out. We're friends. He's the Latino guy who's the teacher. And then I was like, I needed one more guy, and diversity is always really important to me. And so I thought, like, visually what I needed was either like a big redheaded guy or a big Santa Claus guy. And it clicked in my head that I follow this guy, Ken, on Instagram. He lives in Phoenix, and he's covered from head to toe in tattoos. And then it just became my obsession that I wanted to shoot him because he's so beautiful, and these tattoos I just wanted to capture on film. And so I called him in Phoenix and convinced him to come out for a day. So it, like, all worked out. This was literally my dream cast.
I would say that Ken is definitely the strongest of all the models in the video. And part of it is, like, that to me, like, when he's not in that shot of being sort of at home lonely with the AC unit so unflattering.
I hate that thing.
Well, it's an interesting choice for the cinematography that they put the subject, you know, sort of in a reclining chair, you know, he's isolated, he's being cooled down by the AC unit, you know. it's not a glamorous portrayal. And then we switch to this tribute to Fred with Tires, the Urbritz iconic photo of the young muscular man with the, you know, working in a gas station changing tires, which it was a poster that was on everybody's walls in the 90s. And, you know, now, let me tell you, just for the record, if there was ever a Jiffy Lube that had Fred in it, you know, it would do very well.
But, yeah, and that photo is gorgeous. No, but the thing about it is I think it's really interesting how you portray his initial setup. Because to me, you're like saying he's not being portrayed in a positive light. Like, for me, that setup is so fucking sexy. Hands down.
But he's lonely, though. He's, I don't know. To me, I'm like, I'd rather see him kind of, when he's standing up and holding the tires, he's in charge. And he's owning his body, and he's a strong, powerful figure. When he's sort of...
No, I don't disagree with that. But when he's sitting in the chair and the camera's coming from behind the TV from that low angle, I mean, I feel like he's in charge, too. I mean,
but aren't we creating, like, a fantasy world where Ken then becomes the 90s heartthrob, right?
Well, I mean,
that was the logic of putting him in the Urbritz pose, right?
Well, I think that's interesting that you say that. I guess my question for you is, do you like big guys?
It's not about my taste. I'm just saying that if you're putting somebody in that pose, it is... regardless of their body size, it is a lonely post. It's watching television. We seldom see people watching television, and it's inferred that he's watching television.
It's very voyeuristic, right? You're supposed to be, it's voyeuristic in that sense. So my point of the matter is, when I see him in that reclining chair, he is Herbert's to me, right? That connection is not made to you yet. You see a lonely guy in a chair. When I see that, I think, holy fuck, that is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. right? That's what I think. That's sure. what I see. So for me, when I put him in the Herbert's Pulse, what I'm saying is now I'm giving you a cue to see this person as the masterpiece that I see him. And it's regardless of if he is Herbert's or if he's sitting alone in a chair. I want you to make that connection in both situations. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I disagree with you the fact that, you know, anybody watching television is not an empowering image.
Well, I didn't say it was empowering. I said it's fucking sexy to me. So,
okay. You know, so watching television watching somebody watch television is a sexy thing. That's to be clear. That's what, yeah.
Somebody sitting in a recliner like that is sexy to me.
Okay.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's not an agree or disagree thing. It's sure. just different tastes. You know what I mean? Sure. Nobody's right. Nobody's wrong.
Well, I'm trying to talk about things like in visual language about like empowerment, owning your body and celebrating the body, regardless of what that body is. Right. And to me, it's like, you know, American consumers and you know, the whole idea of American consumption is the fact that we have this hole in our hearts and that our body image is tied to our desire to consume, right? So we go shopping, we go buy products, and we go to the movies, and we do things that are not necessarily in our best interest because we're trying to fill that self-esteem hole inside us. That's what sort of drives American advertising. And so, you know,
I don't disagree with you, but I would also argue, and this is, I guess, what I'm arguing in a way in my op-ed, that this self-esteem hole is also manufactured, right? So the idea that we need to look a certain way, or the idea that we need to have certain things, is manufactured by the society in which we live. So it's like completely cyclical. We say it's innate to us, but I don't believe it to be innate to us.
No, not at all. It's manufactured by advertising. It's that need to buy stuff. If you did, if you were comfortable with your body the way it is, you wouldn't be wanting to buy, you know, that product. And modern advertising is driven by that, by creating that innate need of I am incomplete without this or this product or that lotion or that, you know, cologne.
They call
or
it the latent need. They're trying to tap into that. And so, you know, they're trying to get you any way they can to think like, you know, there's something wrong with you. So you buy something to fix it.
I'm incomplete without Mark Fausto.
Oh,
or that new merchandise available at tomgoss.music.com. but then, you know, you see what I'm saying? And I think like that's at the core, I think, and if we want to talk about body acceptance, we really have to start challenging advertising in general.
Absolutely. And I think that's really, well, I think really that's what the video was for me, is taking these kind of like traditional techniques of lighting and shooting and styling and just plopping a different model in its place. You know what I mean? I don't think I did anything groundbreaking. All I did was change the beautiful person into a different kind of beautiful person. And I think that's why it works so well, because we've all seen this lighting. We've all seen these masterpieces. We've all seen this our entire life. And we are already equating that to, oh, that's beautiful. But we're never seeing that with one of these round men in it.
Well, we've seen it throughout history. And Mark talks about, you know, this is very much a Western notion of seeing sort of the athletic male body as this ideal, because in Asia, that's not necessarily the case.
Well, you'd see like in a lot of their art and stuff, they'd see, or in Africa, you know, the big plump people were gods, and they were like the wealthy people, and they were the powerful people, and that size meant something.
But that's also historical. Like we're looking at, and I think as we evolve as a global society, we see the people with the marketing power and the entertainment power in the movies and the television, they are changing the way the entire world sees beauty. And I think there was this interesting study that I read, and I'm going to get the country wrong, so I'm not even going to say it. And there was a Polynesian country where, like, you know, in Polynesian, people are a little thicker, you know, a little wider, and they used to have these beauty contests, and they were just beautiful, plump women, and they would always win, right? Television, they got television. 8 months later, there was there eating disorders did not exist on this island. 8 months later, they existed. The next year, every single beauty contestant was thin. It's kind of like we're just perpetuating this worldwide. So before we like completely ruined the ideal body images for the entire world, we need to create some content that speaks to something differently.
So what is the solution here? I mean, you're pointing out, you're saying it's like we need to celebrate thick and juicy guys. You do use a pejorative term, fat, even though, you know, in the 80s, the fat boys introduced rap music to the mainstream and sort of like the human beatbox. I mean, he developed a whole musical style of making beats with your mouth. Darren Robinson, rest in peace.
Yeah, and I think it's great that they own that term fat. I think it's really wonderful. And I'm not sure, you know, and in my op-ed, of course, I decided to not use the term fat because there's so many negative connotations that come from just hearing it, how we speak to one another in society. So I don't know what the answer is, but I know that we need to start creating content that shows beauty in a different light. You know, I mean, you guys live in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. I guess it's hard because you guys live in Andersonville and I see a lot of thin and fit guys there too. But if you think about just a regular person, the run of the mill guy, I mean, I grew up in that area. They're all fat, right? They're all
the Midwestern also, thick and juicy corn fed, is like we say, right?
Exactly. And they're all also married. You know what I mean? So somebody's fucking them. Somebody's finding them attractive every single day. So to tell people in mass that thin and fit is the only way that's sexy is a disservice to everyone. Is a disservice to the intelligence of our country at large.
Well, and that's why I think, you know, gay people, we do have a like the studies say that we do have problems viewing our body as like, you know, being acceptable. But then we do have, you know, the bears who are all about embracing their body. So it's kind of, you know, we have this tug and this push and pull with the whole thing.
Well, just different spheres of influence and knowledge. Yeah. And I explain bears to women as it's body acceptance for men. You know, and they go, oh, that makes total sense.
And the weird thing is like, you know, and it's also kind of like, you know, it's advertising saying it's being a bear. And, you know, and those kinds of things change. I went to the Gerber Hart Library here in Chicago, and I was looking through old gay newspapers. And back in the day, they would call them the bears. They called themselves the Lavender Elephants. And they would get together. Ugh. I know. Isn't that crazy? Like, this is like the 80s. This is the 80s. And so they would have like these groups, like support groups, or just like hang out and you know. And I think Lavender Elephants changed to like Mirth and Girth. Is that right, Fausto?
That's right.
And now I don't know if they're still around or if they've just become like a bear thing because like bears are now so all-encompassing.
Yeah.
And I remember the Mirth and Girth started having events at Jackhammer.
Mm-hmm. And Touche, right?
And Touche. And people
a couple
like,
of gay bars here in town.
It was a very, like, the bartenders and the owners were a little bit nervous about it, as I recollect. And part of it was like, they just didn't know what to make of it, you know? And part of it is like, there's always been disenfranchised groups that are organized. I'm sorry, there have been groups for dating disenfranchised people. So there's Asian and Friends in Chicago. There's been other types of groups that sort of like allow people who are seeking people who don't necessarily fit into that traditional trope and allow them to create relationships with each other. And what thing that bothers me is like, you know, as a rise of social media and dating apps and hookup apps is that there's a lot of criticism now based on what I call people of mixed heritage relationships. So you're talking like someone like Tom and Mike, who's, you know, squirrel and elephant, or you're looking at somebody who is from Latin America and, you know, the United States or Asia and, you know, the West. And it's like, and start criticizing these relationships because somehow they're innately unbalanced or unequal. And that bothers
me. Because of their ethnic heritage?
What?
Because of their ethnic heritage?
Because of all, because they're of the differences in their heritage, one, their appearances.
Well, there's you know, because the thing is though too, and this is a part of the thing that you know you have to be careful with yourself, Tom. I'll give you a warning as a friend is when you're attracted to just one type of person, you know, sometimes you come across as you're objectifying them, and it becomes a fetish. Now I know you and your husband do have a very strong relationship, and you love each other very much, and you guys treat each other as human beings. But sometimes when people, like white people, date a person of color, you know, it may seem like they have a good relationship, but in fact, that one person might be objectifying the other person. And
I totally understand what you're saying, and I would respond to that by saying, you know, it's interesting. People say this to me too, like, you only like bears or something like that. And my argument would be like, I have a feeling like my type in terms of the range of the size of a person is much larger than the majority of people, right? Mm-hmm. Because I'm happy to, you know, I'm happily attracted to somebody who maybe weighs 165 pounds, but also can be attracted to somebody who weighs 400 pounds, right? Whereas the range of most people are probably like 120 to 200, you know what I mean? So I feel what you're saying, but I also am really, really sensitive and been empathetic, and I am like a songwriting artist by trade. And although I'm definitely objectifying people in this video, in real life, and even in that video, I think I do it with a tenderness and a lovingness and an artistry. And in real life, I certainly would never just objectify somebody to get off. That's really like the antithesis of who I am as a person.
So when you ejaculate over their face, you give them a towel. That's what you're saying.
I'm not saying that like, you yourself do this. I'm saying like your art in some ways might come across as objectifying someone.
I think, you know, that's interesting because my goal in this piece in general was mm-hmm. definitely to objectify. Yeah. Like, and I think that, I think your question to me is valid, and your
it's just you know,
it was more like a
right?
warning.
Yeah.
No, it's certainly something to question, but
first,
at the same
a warning.
But at the same time, everything is objectification. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything you see, I got this guy. This guy has been emailing me that he posted this comment on the YouTube page telling me that he believes my video should have a warning before I play it.
What right? kind of warning?
A warning about how overeating leads to obesity and obesity leads to this and da 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 da. I mean, there was like a paragraph. And I, you know,
well,
he,
you know, he
wrote,
also had, you should also warn people that homosexuality can lead to pleasure and orgasms.
The whole thing is ridiculous, and I guess that's what I'm trying to point out. Mm-hmm. Like, we every single music video that you see, there are people doing things in that music video that are dangerous, right? Everything in music video that you see, there are people being objectified or things even being objectified that one is supposed to lust over. That is a dangerous path to follow, right?
I'm sure like when Lady Gaga's dancing covered in mayonnaise, she could trip over those beaded gowns and twist her ankle and be in the hospital for months.
There should be a warning in front of that telling you that you should not do that for fear of slipping on mayonnaise. But you know, I just kind of lost track of my point. I forgot what I was thinking.
Is this idea of condemning, you know, someone who is large as inherently sick or unhealthy.
But I'm also saying like objectification in and of itself isn't sure. the evil, right? The objectification is something that's innate to us as a human. It's what you then do with the objectification, how you treat somebody and how you manage your art in that way to have it have a deeper meaning. And I think I'm definitely objectifying these men in this video, but I think that there's a real deep and unsaid meaning that people aren't talking about. And that I think you can read the op-ed to find a lot more in any of the interviews around this video to say like, oh, there's a lot more coming than just the objectification of a person.
Have you had any pushback in people saying, I appreciate you wanting to celebrate large men's bodies, but we can speak for ourselves. We don't need you speaking for us.
I haven't ever had anybody say that to me. Definitely not in that way. I think I've had people that have been dismissive of me because of my size. Absolutely. I think there's certainly been people that think I'm making it up to try to make a buck. They don't realize how poor I am.
I haven't seen your Growler account either.
I know. No, it's true. No, and I get that a lot. And I think that was in part one of the reasons that I made this, is that I made Bears, and I had people every day ask me if I like really, do you really like Bears? And I just would roll my eyes because I'd be like, all you have to do is click on who I'm married to on my Facebook page, but people would rather like kind of harass you. And for me, it's like, I stopped getting upset about it and I started reflecting on what did I do wrong? Right.
I do remember you and Mike having a fight and you screaming at him, maybe I married you for a little publicity. That didn't happen. Just for the record, that did not happen.
That would be really, yeah, I just married
that him. That would be kind of funny, front. Though. And the thing about it is, like, I love you. I love your message. I love your compassion and kindness.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, sometimes you are a little bit square in your sensibility. And I loved the thing I loved about Bears is that you were cutting loose. You know, you're sort of making fun of the trope of the music video where the rock star is like the hero. You know, and it's like, and it was just this party that, like, you're watching this video, everybody wants to go to that party.
Just for background for everybody, for 5 years. Foss has been trying me to make a lot more videos just like Bears.
I was so happy when you did.
No, I think it's great. I think I am square and I think I am earnest and I think I am like super honest and really sensitive and really direct. And that's me, you know, and I think that exists in a way which is Bears. But I think that also exists in a way which is Lover, or which is Breath and Sound, or which is these other things. And I think for me, I don't know when I'm dying, but it's going to be soon enough. And I want to be creating stuff and telling stories and really like trying to have a message behind the thing that I want to do. Because the truth of the matter is I want to change the fucking world. I don't just want to entertain people. That's only like peripherally interesting to me. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know who said this, but it's like, when you've done a great job, you will change the world and people won't even realize you've done anything at all. And Mr. Rogers said that some of the greatest heroic acts are seldom recognized. Maybe you've already changed the world.
Because once you change the world, you don't know it.
You don't realize it.
Once that paradigm shift has occurred, you don't even realize there was an alternative.
Can you believe there's a parallel universe where Bears did not get made?
It was skinny guys.
Oh my God.
But the interesting thing is, like, when I think about you and Mike's relationship, I really think about a lot of Bert and Ernie. Sort of the, you know, and you're sort of like Bert in some regards. And Mike is sort of like
Ernie. What is Bert like?
Well, he's the Sesame Street
mature one.
Yeah,
he's the one who collects paper clips, and he's very methodical.
And the rules,
and it's about the rules and the ideas and stuff. And Ernie's all about pleasure. He's the one who has the bath full of bubbles with a rubber ducky, and he squeezes it. He eats cookies in bed, much to Bert's chagrin. But at the end of the day, despite their differences, they love each other very, very deeply. And through the history of Sesame Street and Children's Television Workshop, those two characters have been so controversial because of the fact, not just because they're, you know, seen by the public as a couple, much like, you know, Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello were seen, or even Jerry Lewis and Dean Martin were seen as a couple, as a romantic couple, but also because of the fact that they're so different from each other. And when you have couples that are visually and heritage-wise and personality different, I think society really has a hard time accepting that. You know, and they start attacking that in one way or another. It's always like, and to me it's like, you know, Tristan Taormino said this, she's a feminist writer, all relationships by their very nature are uneven. And what you really want to do if you want to be in a happy long-term relationship is you want to complement each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you and your husband actually do a really extraordinary job at doing that.
Thank you.
But for the listeners who don't know what your guys' farts smell like, well, can you talk a little bit about like how you guys disagree but compliment each other on the way you see the world and sort of, you know, because Mike is such an important part of your music career.
No, it's really interesting. You know, I do think that, you know, again, I am very square and I'm very earnest and I'm very hardworking and I'm very methodical and I'm all of these things. And I am in a lot of ways incapable of stopping working. I'm incapable of letting loose and having fun. And I do think that Mike is really wonderful in the way he compliments me in that and the way he's constantly looking for a good time, never wants to go home, never wants to stop drinking, never wants to stop dancing, never wants to stop eating. I mean, if you go, it's funny. I always think it's funny. Like our friends come out to dinner with us. And if it's like, if we're eating, you know, there's going to be like, I've had waiters stop and say, I think you have enough. You know what I mean? Because every every moment is a moment for celebration and a moment for excess and a moment just to live. And I think that's a really wonderful way to live. And I think that my husband does that so well. And I think without that, I would be working 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I would be driving myself into the ground.
Well,
and that's what I do when he's out of town. That's exactly what I do when I'm out of
spirit, he's like your guardian angel, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess so.
You know? In some regards, like, I mean, I just enjoy hanging out with the two of you guys, and it's always fun to, you know, drink a beer with Mike, you know, and we're like, then we turn to you and like, aren't you going to have some?
And like, I, you know what? I really want to get to the gym in the morning before I write a new song and before I like do 42 other things and then have a show tonight. So I think I'm going to go home. It's 9:30 already. You know what I mean? It's like, sure. That's me. Yeah.
You've been creating all this amazing music for a long time now. Do you feel that you're, as you sort of mature into your career as a musician, are you starting to sort of think about things a little bit differently and more, maybe, you know, prepare yourself for the long term?
I think there's a lot of truth to that. I think, I'm finally starting to understand my value as a person and my value as an artist. And I think that I suffer with a lot of really low self-confidence when it comes to my art and my craft. And I think I'm finally starting to understand my power in that. And my new record, I'm really, really excited for people to hear. I think it's really compelling and really interesting. I think that this piece of work is the same. And I think I'm really, I'm really proud of myself for directing it. And that was a new foray for me and something that I realized that I could do and I could do well. And I'm changing a lot. And I think the way in which I'm changing the most is to stop beating myself up all the time.
Mm.
Love yourself. Oh, Captain, why don't you love them all? So, when's the album coming? I know the song is out. Yeah.
Well, that song's not on the new record. Okay. It's a standalone single. Okay. Yeah, it's a single. But the new record is out, I don't know, early next year. We're done with the mixes. I'm working with this brilliant man. His name's Ian Carmichael. He's in Barcelona. When I was in Barcelona last week, we finished up the mixes. Sounds so good. I'm going to get it mastered and just start working on strategy. I'm down in Mexico right now scouting for a music video.
You're in Mexico? So where are you in Mexico?
I'm in Baja. I'm in between Rosarito and Ensenada, which is like, you guys have to come. Oh my God. We have to go. It's like, you don't even understand. I'm staying at like an abandoned resort.
What?
It's
where's the food?
Well, it's like It's like these resorts from the 70s that nobody uses anymore. And then there was like this hospital that burned down next door. And this, the Baja
Coast.
Like,
it's
really, it's amazing.
Burned down hospital. It's from the 70s that nobody uses anymore.
Stunning. There's zombies walking around.
It's stunningly beautiful. Mm-hmm. I'm watching the water come in on the ocean. It's a bluff. I'm staying at the Airbnb, which is massive, in two bedrooms. And it's $100 a night. And it's just like, everything's, so we're going to shoot a music video here, and it's Mexico, so it's like warm and beautiful, and everybody's friendly, and everything's cheap, and the food's delicious, and da-da-da-da-da. It's just wonderful. I love it.
Well, congratulations on being in Mexico. Maybe one day I'll be there, too. You know, my mother's from Mexico.
Next time you guys come visit, let's drive to Mexico.
How long does it take to get from your house to where you are? Did you drive there?
3 hours.
Oh, is that all?
Gee, girl.
It's so quick. Wow. I'm telling you.
Passports.
It's so quick.
Wow. Yeah.
You guys have passports, right?
Yeah, of course. I was just in Norway.
Okay.
His passport says Norway on it. Mine says Canada.
They didn't actually stamp ours in Canada.
No, they didn't. They just looked at it and said, are you guys bringing immigrants or drugs? Okay, you can go in.
They always give us a hassle going to Canada. They do not like Mike and I. Ooh,
why is that, do you think?
I think as we look suspicious.
Yeah, it's the shifty, those beady little eyes.
We got interrogated once trying to go into Canada.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, because did you have your guitar with you?
Yeah.
They think you're going to make money.
Yeah.
But that doesn't matter anymore. You don't need a visa anymore.
Yeah, but I think for work in Canada?
No, they changed the visa a couple years ago. No.
Oh, okay. Because I don't know. Because I know, like, we had a guest to the podcast, and he had gone to the UK for the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, and so he just went, you know, with his instrument, and then he went like about 5 months later, and he had his instrument, and he's just like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just gonna play and do whatever, and they're just like, get on the plane and go back home.
Really? And they like found his stuff.
Well, because how are you gonna hide an instrument, you know?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I just played in London like a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any problems. But well, it's because
you didn't hide the harmonica.
This is stupid.
Put it in your pocket, and then you're ready to go.
You're ready to go. You play it anywhere.
The guitar. You play a grand. You can't travel with a baby grand. What? You're just traveling with a guitar, right?
I'm just traveling with a guitar, and I think when I played in Europe in 2014, I think they definitely were suspicious of me. And so when the next time I came to the UK, they asked me a bunch of questions, and I was like, why are you asking me all this? She's like, well, your stamp on here is suspicious, and she was asking me about work. So I think they suspected me. And since I've been back a couple times since, and I haven't got the runaround, I think I'm like in the clear now.
Well, now they're listening to this, and they're like, we caught you red-handed. You have to sit through an hour-long podcast to get to this part, immigrants, ICE.
And you were just like in Romania. What were you doing in Romania?
So my husband's got a Romanian friend who has like a family winery.
Mm-hmm.
It's like real small. So he flew into Amsterdam. The guy lives in Amsterdam. Then they drove to Romania. Then I flew to Romania and I met them. And then we made wine. And then we just like drove around Transylvania. And then we flew to Barcelona and I finished my mixes and we ate insane amounts of food. And then I flew to London and played a show. Mm-hmm. And then I came home. Yeah.
And we call those weekdays.
Exactly. It's so true.
And so you're going to come to Chicago next month? You're going to visit us?
Yeah. Can we hang out, please?
Yes, of course.
You're going to write finally, what I've wanted you to do is write a love song for me.
Mm. Yeah, I would love to.
Because they ain't nobody.
Else is writing a love song for him.
No, you need to write a love song to the most bullied person in the world.
Melania Trump.
The most bullied person?
The most bullied person in the world is Melania Trump.
Well, she actually said, I'm one of the most bullied
people. After the journalist said, are you saying you are the world's most bullied person? And she's like, one of the most.
She does get bullied a lot. Yeah. Like, it's vicious. It's true.
Well, I want, you know,
the fashion police are ruthless. Mm. And when you dress up as a James, what is it, an Indiana Jones villain, Dr. Jones, we are looking for the Ark. Where is the Ark? A Nazi supervillain from Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, identical outfit. People are going to criticize you ruthlessly and severely.
No, I mean, it's definitely coming from a place of privilege, but she does get criticized.
I don't care.
And she rightly deserves it.
No, I don't care either. I'm just saying her statement is not false.
I'm sorry. I was just reading the statement on the back of her jacket that she wore.
Oh, my God. It's so gross. One time
when she was inspecting, you know, human rights atrocities.
Yeah, it's gross. She's gross. I'm not saying she's not gross.
Yeah. How are we going to get through this? I guess through love and art. And you're doing it one song at a time.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It's not super easy.
It sounds superficial and it sounds ridiculous to say that art's going to save the world or get us through these dark times. But, you know, art is powerful.
And I think there's truth to that. I think it's the way we dialogue with one another. And I think that people who see this video that I just made are going to maybe see Big Man differently, right? And so that's a tweak in that way. People who see something like Son of a Preacher Man are seeing, you know, gay love differently. People who are seeing Breath and Sound are seeing relationship differently. And it's not that I'm saying, like, I'm changing people's mind, like, kill the gays. And then they're like, I love gays. But there's these little nuggets in your head that you pick up throughout your life. And they kind of, like, when you go to make that judgment, you now have this nugget that says, maybe you should think about that for two more seconds. You know what I mean? Yeah,
there's a lid for every pot, right?
Even if the pot is a kettle.
Yeah.
There's still a lid for that.
Even a vat has there's a top for a vat. That's the thing, is like, there's always, you know, if you're a person out there, somebody out there is going to be attracted to you.
But the problem is that when you're on these hookup apps, you want to be the
belle of the ball. You want everybody knocking on your door, being like, oh, you're beautiful, let's have sex.
You don't want just one lid. You want a whole orchestra of pots and pans clacking around.
Mm.
Cling, cling, cling.
You got to get engaged. You got to get out there. You have to meet people, form those, bear play parties, all that kind of stuff.
I say, if you like big guys, where can people find big guys for the thick and juicy expert as yourself? Go to all you can eat buffets.
this is going down a path that I don't think is completely respectful.
Well, I mean,
no, I'm serious. I want practical dating advice.
Listen, there are people who are listening to the show. They say they want the big life, big love. Where do they go get it?
I would probably go to a bear event.
Okay.
Or a chub event, and maybe get on like Growler. Or there's a bunch of apps for big guys.
Mm.
Bigger City.
That's an app?
It's an app.
Okay.
There's a whole ton of them. I'm not super good at apps.
Slip and slide parties.
Oh, yeah, slip and slide parties. Which are actually
really... Yeah, there's slip and slide parties all the time.
But those are actually very... Slip and slides are super dangerous for adults because our center of gravity is much different than children. And so, kids can use slip and slides pretty much to not get hurt. But, like, any adult, no matter what your size... Well, maybe if you were a shorter adult, maybe it wouldn't be so much. But if you're a big guy, it can really hurt you.
Tom, you need to issue a safety warning in front of bears saying, do not use a slip and slide if you have lower back pain.
Well, just, buy a slip and slide and read what it says in the package. You'll see.
There might have been a guy who broke his back making that video.
Oh, really?
What?
Maybe, maybe not.
The death count of
how many big people have to die
before?
No, he was not that big either. He was not big, not a big guy, but yeah, he definitely had, he definitely face planted.
Oh, ouch.
Is Mike over there on the phone, near the phone?
No, Mike's in Massachusetts.
Oh, okay. I thought he was at the open bar in the...
At the burnt out hospital.
He would be. Oh my God, we're going to go to this place called Charlie's Place, and they have this thing called Mocajete, which is just like
2 pounds of melted cheese and seafood, and it's fucking ridiculous.
Oh, every time I eat like cheese, I always think, I repeat this is a Faust story. I say, you know what Tom told me? He goes, Tom said, the thing about bears is they eat food that's really high in calories.
I said that.
You said that to me.
I said that was a joke.
Listen, if you want to be big, you got to eat big.
Yeah.
You can't
I'm from
be
Wisconsin.
Pussyfooting around.
I am fine with my cheese. I will eat a ton of cheese.
Mm. Yes. It's like you got to get the calories in, calories stay in. You know, it's like, it's really that's all that matters. It's flavor. And remember,
I don't disagree.
Fat carries flavor.
Well, even in cooking, regular fat. That's why you add fat to things, because it carries butter.
Oh my God, I love how you cook. I love how you cook all the meals and all for Norge. And you're just like,
isn't
you're just
Mark
like,
adorable?
He's like the daddy bear all the time, and he's like, and he's like teaching them how to cook, and like, he's always teaching somebody something, and it's really cute.
I think it got annoying to some of them. They're like, oh, this one again.
You know, part of the problem is that Mark is savvy and charming and born, you know, they should have called Mark Theodore because God smiles upon him.
Oh,
and
that means God loves him.
Yeah. Right. And you know, I think people, children of a lesser God, the other contestants on the show might feel a little bit, you know, jealous of that. They may not come from families that celebrate them. They may not have the self-esteem issues. They're wrestling. And when you're on a reality TV show far off in a magical land of Norway, every little grain of sand becomes a giant boulder of insecurity. And there comes this charming, handsome, talented, large and in charge, bearded beauty as Mark is.
And, bearded and bespectacled.
Yeah. And, you know, it's hard not to fall in love with Mark.
They didn't want me to wear my glasses. They wanted me to wear my contacts for the show. But as you saw in that first contest, we missed something. And I was just like, I see better with my glasses. So then I'm just like, I'm wearing my glasses now.
Oh, because the elimination challenge.
We missed a sign. And I blame that partly is because I didn't, you know, I was wearing my contacts, which I just don't see as well. Because my glasses just have a better prescription.
Yeah, so, well, you look cute in both of them.
Well, thank you. Well, I have a special episode is coming up, you know, today, this Monday. But now they have a clip online on Facebook you can watch. And I'm talking about this stuff. And it basically, it's called a dupa sauce, which, you know what a dupa is? A butt, right?
I've never heard that.
Like growing up, like we always called somebody's butt a dupa.
Tukas?
No.
Your tukas.
Tukas? Well, that's Yiddish.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of people have different names for butts, right? And one of them I grew up with was a dupa, right? And so this is a dupa sauce. So I'm like, oh, it's a butt sauce. And so now this very special episode that will, you know, is now just going to be the butt sauce episode.
Good. So wait, so are you telling me that all the episodes aren't up?
No.
This is still going.
This is coming years.
Are there?
By the time of this recording, there will be 8.
8 more to go.
Yeah, but how many total?
8. There's 12.
So we're wrapping it up.
Well, there's a month left.
And may the best Norwegian American win.
When you watch it on the internet, the commercials, I'm kidding, not kidding, are like 4 or 5 minutes every commercial break. It's so long.
See, I have a VIP account, so I don't get the commercials.
Did you register?
Maybe if you registered, you might not. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're like trying to make it as hard as possible.
Well, I also got the host of the show to get into bed with me.
Nice.
but that's not going to be on the television. That he did like these side videos. If you go to the Alt for Norga Facebook page, you can see it. And I'm just so glad he came up to interview me. I was like, I'm so glad I wasn't like jerking off or anything like that. You just like knock on the door. He's like, hey, come in. I'm like, yeah, come on in.
You should have pretended like you were masturbating.
I like how you're always making like gay jokes and dick jokes.
Oh, the best is yet to come.
The crazy thing, and I know that, you know, a sane, hip person is going to look at Mark and, you know, obviously this person's gay, but they've never really spelled it out the way they do with the other contestants.
Oh, I guess that maybe I missed them spelling it out with any other contestants. I feel like they're not spelling out any the gay people's sexuality at all.
I think I'm past
with
seasons.
Evan, who's also gay on your season.
Yeah.
The guy from San Francisco.
Yes, yeah. They're very clear about him having, you know, it's like being gay. So the fact that he got to be able to say, I'm gay, and Mark
I don't
is
know
not,
if they really said he was gay. I kind of outed him because on that episode where he got his bunad and they said they're like, for free-minded folk, I was like, is that code, Evan? Is that code?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I just think they didn't want to put Fosso on television. They didn't want anybody to know.
Well,
that you were dating Fosso.
We'll
maybe
see.
So, but maybe. You know, but the still thing is like, you know, Mark, so much of what Mark does in his life revolves around homosexuality, like with awesome people like you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm not gay.
You're good at hiding
You're what are you, pansexual?
Yeah, what is your gender and sexual identity?
Him.
No, identity, not pronouns.
So I identify as a male and identify as I guess, what do you call somebody who likes animals? Because I like bears, I guess.
But you're not having sex. You're having sex with people who use the word of an animal as a metaphor for themselves. They're not believing they're an actual bear.
I don't know. Mike's not very articulate. I feel like half the time he's just going, rawr, rawr, rawr,
rawr. I don't want to fight no union. All right. We'll go to Mexico and film your music video. Where? Baja? Isn't that Spanish for low?
Silly.
For get down on your knees. Tom, it's so good to talk to you. I absolutely love you. The music video,
I miss you guys.
Round in All the Right Places, can be found on Tom Goss Music's channel on YouTube, Tom Goss Music.
Mm.
And you can listen to the song and at song.link/TomGossRound.
Exactly.
Why? So I guess that's the music service, like, gives you a specific link to a track.
No, SongLink just gives it all. So, like, once you go to that thing, it'll say, like, you click on your services you like. So it'll be, like, Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So you don't have to – you just, like, go to the thing, and then it shows all of the ways you can listen to it. Mm. So it's just a streamlining platform. It's a funnel.
So you've had, 15,000 views on YouTube, so that means you made $3. Congratulations.
No, except they wouldn't put advertising on the video because it was most of my content's blocked. It's really fucking bullshit.
Because you put it on CD Baby or what?
It's blocked from YouTube.
Oh, because they're publishing because you publish it through CD Baby, and so CD Baby blocks the publishing rights.
YouTube says that the image is not suitable for advertisers.
Aww.
Weird. That's too bad.
I would say about 50% of my videos are blocked, even videos where I'm just talking. It's really bullshit. I make about $20 a month and I get about 10,000 views a day on my channel.
Welcome to my world.
Gotta monetize that.
Yes.
We're in the same world.
We are in the same world. Hold me, Tom. Hold me. I got a pizza ready for you. Chase the dream.
Tom, when will you be doing your next Facebook Live videos with Devin? When are you guys going to sing next?
Probably next week, I guess. That's probably.
You guys are singing a lot together.
Yeah, we're having so much fun.
And she's, what's the experience of, like, because I've, you know, I know Devin really well, and we've certainly had a lot of fun together. For the people who are listening who may not know what that experience is like, can you talk a little bit about it?
Singing with Devin?
Yeah.
Or being with Devin?
Well, either way.
Devin's so wonderful and sweet. I mean, she's Canadian, and she's similar to me. Like, she's super earnest and straightforward, and I really appreciate that about her. Singing with her is interesting because she's also, like, super kooky. So you never quite know what she's going to do. And for the first, like, 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 times we sang together, I was super fucking lost. But now I kind of understand her sensibilities and what she's going to do vocally and chord wise. I mean, we don't practice or anything. I know you can't tell. We're perfect every time. But
always.
But yeah, no, she's I love Devin. She's a really good person. Thank you for introducing us.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you.
And now we never hear anything from Devin. Thanks for stealing my friend.
I'm sure if you call Devin right now, she might let it go to voicemail.
Yeah. Well, hello. Look at what the good you do. Leave a message. Devin, remember me? It's your old friend, Faustina.
Didn't she marry you guys?
Yeah.
She also married Varla Jean Merman, the drag queen Varla Jean, and her husband.
Yeah, I think I just saw that.
Isn't that crazy?
So we're all in the family, you know.
You and Mike need to renew your vows. Have Devin do that for you guys.
I would rather have Foster do it.
Oh,
I'll tell you the truth. I said, you gotta hold on tight to that man and don't let go, baby, because love is all that matters. That's all that matters. When you feel like walking out, stay. When you feel like talking, listen. When you feel like hating, kiss him. Love.
You're stupid.
All my life I'd had to fight. What is it called? I would like to actually, read some Tyler Perry poetry at a wedding. That always makes me feel good.
Tyler Perry poetry?
Horrible. Or Maya Angelou. Oh, my God. It's the best stuff, you know. Because it's about the soul. It's about the feelings. And
Tyler Perry's the guy from Madea, isn't
it? Yes. But, you know, Tyler Perry is a sentimental fool. And he loves love.
And he loves getting people together.
Yes.
I like that, too.
We're all the same family. We're all connected.
Well, if you go upstairs at his mansion, you'll have to sign a non-disclosure agreement. Just so you know.
That's true. I have no doubt about that.
I wouldn't mind going upstairs on Tyler Perry's mansion.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to come to my mansion?
What?
Do you have a mansion?
You don't want to come to my mansion? No,
I'll go to whatever mansion you got.
Great, okay.
Yeah, let's go. Party.
What else is going on, Tom?
Nothing. I've just mostly been doing all this new album and these new videos. And I'm really super excited about it. Super excited. I can't wait for you guys to hear it.
I know. How about one day to be in your music video?
Better start.
Yeah, you should.
There's a Meat Lover's Pizza waiting for me on the stove.
Is it really?
Yeah. I made it all by from scratch.
Me too. Wait, I should actually go to there. Or I'm going to get in trouble.
I make it with a little bit of bacon and some ground turkey sausage and a little bit of hamburger meat and some chicken. And so it has the animals on top.
When I'm in town.
Yeah.
Does it have like an ostrich?
We can get it.
Have you ever had ostrich meat?
No.
It's
think I've had ostrich eggs.
It tastes kind of sweet, as I remember. It was like there was a sweetness to it that you just didn't get. Like,
it'll be like Noah's Ark, but murdered on a pizza.
I went to this place in Prague called something. I can't remember, but it was literally like that. You could get any animal. Horse meat, zebra meat, crocodile meat, shark meat, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Warthog meat, like every single animal.
Damn.
Like,
what'd you wind up eating? Bear?
You could eat bear. No, I think I probably got shark or something.
Sharks doesn't taste good. Like sharks are garbage. Was the dumpsters of the sea. You know, sharks eat all the other animals that eat other animals, so they're like at the bottom of the food chain. Yeah, they'll take it personally.
I think so.
Well, Tom, it's great talking to you. Congratulations with your new music video. It's hitting all the right places. Well, it's round in all the right places.
I think it's hitting all the right places, too, right?
Yeah.
Like the roundness.
Well, it's actually a square. I'm more of a rectangle. Because it's 16 by 9 dimensions, high definition. But you know, your next music video could be released in circular vision, like a 360.
Oh, yeah. I actually did shoot 360 for Click. We never released it.
And then you could just kind of look, you know, as you're watching the video, you can swipe with your finger and on YouTube. And
yeah, I want to shoot something around in 360. I want to shoot something in VR, too.
Ooh, that'd be fun.
Or in 3D. Yeah. And you can have, like, cocks coming at you.
Yeah. Exactly. You're silly.
Lots of cocks.
I mean, like, in a farm with roosters and
yeah,
birds and stuff like that.
He's into bears.
It's so silly.
A bear farm.
I like roosters and birds. They're cute, too.
I like all kinds of animals. Tom, thank you so much for coming, and thanks for giving us so much of your time.
No problem. I always love talking to you guys. So thank you guys for being amazing.
And we'll see you around Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah. So I'm going to be in town probably starting that. I think I probably got sometime between the Monday after Thanksgiving or the Sunday, Monday after Thanksgiving to, I think, Thursday. So let's just plan to hang out one of those days or, like,
for sure,
get dinner or do something fun. I would really, really love that.
Let's do a live streaming, and I'll pull out the harmonica.
Ooh.
I'll do that. Yeah, okay. When did you start playing the harmonica?
I've always played the harmonica. I just never, you know, I don't like to show off.
He took lessons while I was in Norway.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
In prison. I got arrested.
Did you really?
Yeah.
For what?
Stealing people's hearts.
Hit them.
But you knew that, Tom.
I did. I love it. So yeah, so let's do that. I would really love that. When Mike gets his schedule, then let's hang out and I would really love that. I'll probably come like either on a Sunday or on the night before we leave.
Are you flying into Chicago?
I am flying into Minneapolis. I'm playing in Minneapolis and I'm playing in Iowa. And then I have a wedding in Iowa. And then I'm going to fly from LA from Chicago. And I think I'm flying on Thursday. So I'll probably come in Wednesday night or Sunday night before I go to Kenosha or after I go to Kenosha. Okay. How's that sound?
Sounds good. You can spend the night here if you want.
Okay, that'd be wonderful.
Okay. We'll take you out to, I don't know, bear hunting.
Yeah.
Perfect. I would love that.
All right, Tom. We'll see you, babe.
Okay, boys. Love you a lot. Okay, I'll talk to you soon. Right.
Bye-bye. Bye. Love you.
Okay. Bye.
Tom Goss lives in Los Angeles, California. Once again, round in all the right places. You can watch it on our website, feastoffun.com, or on YouTube, where fine videos are found. Mm-hmm. TomGossMusic.com.
I want to thank everybody who's supported Feast of Fun in the past. And if you aren't a Plus subscriber yet, sign up today at feastoffun.com/plus, because your contribution to the show is what makes the show happen. Well, you know, we've been talking to Tom for almost like 10 years now.
He's family.
And so it's great that, you know, we've been able to do that and develop these kind of relationships and support people that create interesting works of art like Tom.
It's all about the journey of a magical thing we call art on Feast of Fun and exploring the ways that we can break down those walls between us and unconditionally love ourselves and then go on that journey to seek the unreachable dream, because that's all that matters, right? It's chasing your dreams. As you know, unrealistic and wild they may be, go for those dreams.
Mm-hmm. Hop on them.
Hop on the train, baby.
And I think it's important, you know, it's like Tom came forward and he's like, this is what I like, this is what I do. And a lot of people would, you know, it might be their kind of like secret that they feel like they might get criticized for coming forward and showing like who they are. And so in many ways, he's very brave.
Remember, folks, sucking at stuff is the first step to being great at stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So start sucking. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye. Those thighs,
they caught my eye. They got that size carrying me away. And now I'm woke, 'cause you're swole. I'm yours to own forever and You're out in all the right places. Your gut, your chest, your face is so sweet, I can't contain it. And you, your hands up on my waist is much more than I can take in. I'm trapped, I ain't complaining. That dairy air, I cannot help but stare. It's plump enough to share, and it's on my mind. And those Flintstone feet on them calves of me, walking you to me, and I'm on fire. 'Cause you're out in all the right places. Your gut, your chest, your face is so sweet, I can't contain it. And you, what you do with your hands up on my waist is much more than I can take in. I'm trapped, I ain't complaining. 'Cause you're David to me, sheer masterpiece. I'm on my knees and I'm begging, I'm pleading. You're David to me, sheer masterpiece. I'm on my knee, Lord have mercy. 'Cause you're out in all the right places. Your gut, your chest, your face is so sweet, I can't contain it. And you, what you do with your hands up on my waist is much more than I. You're out in all the right places, but your heart's where I'm safest. Relax, let's see where it takes, where it takes, where it takes, where it takes us.